All right. God is dead. And we found the body. He's so small. Such tiny hands and feet. And he's really light, too.
That's weird that you mentioned that. I read a book, and I totally can't remember the name or the author, but there was basically God dies, falls from the sky, and he's a huge giant, and he just lands in part of the ocean.
That sounds really familiar.
And it was actually quite good. And, like, they bring tankers up, and they start, like, exploring his body and taking parts. Like, and
what the fuck is that?
I don't know, but it's... I was part of a book club when I was younger. Like, a science fiction fantasy book club. Okay. And that was one of the ones I got. I can totally picture the cover, but I can't remember. Towing Jehovah.
Isn't they?
That was the name. Towing Jehovah by James K. Moreau.
Towing Jehovah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Towing Jehovah.
I prefer Towing Jehovah. It's across three discs. Three discs.
It's a three disc set. And you gotta listen to the whole thing on vinyl.
Which is weird because they're CDRs.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Zero Issues!
Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Zero Issues! Zero Issues!
Excelsior!
So, yeah, it's religion. What's a funny God thing? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
God.
God who?
God who indeed, my friend. God who indeed. Hmm. Welcome to Zero Issues. There's no one there. Knock, knock. Nah, forget it.
What?
Who's there?
I don't know. Charlotte?
I don't...
Are you God in this scenario? I guess.
I don't know where Charlotte... Please leave my house.
Okay, let's just go to...
This is God's house.
Yeah.
Church.
It's where God lives.
God has such high ceilings.
Yeah.
And such low, low prices.
God drinking beer on the...
He's got the inventory
porch.
That's
hey,
gotta go.
It's Wednesday afternoon.
Hey, it's his day. You know what he made
no,
that day?
No, it's Tuesday.
Like, you know what he made that day? Like, well, the sea and the land.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot of stuff.
Jesus. I hope he's in a union.
Jesus is in a union?
Oh, he's all right with me.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a carpenter's union, right?
Yeah.
The Trinity
union. I heard a very funny Jesus joke last night.
Did you?
We went to a comedy club.
Hmm.
Oh.
Crickets.
Oh, right.
We got a comedy club now.
Yeah, and, this guy was talking about, like, stepdads never get a lot of, you know, praise. And Jesus really just gave Joseph the shaft. Like, when he was up on the cross, he said, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Why have you forsaken me? They don't know what they do, because this cross is really shoddily made. If you want a good quality cross, you go see Joseph the carpenter. Great crosses at low, low prices.
I've got a warehouse of crosses, and they've got to go. My prices are insane.
It's like fun Joseph joke.
Joseph just jumps in front of
him. Joseph's just like, what the fuck? I'm right here.
Yeah.
My Father, why have you forsaken me? Hey.
What? Look up here. Yeah.
You don't know what they do. I'm here. I see. Oh, God. I just.
You know what? Yeah, give him a stab.
Give it to me.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, one remaining listener.
Yeah. I know who it ain't.
Oh.
Have we had... I don't even know if we've had the...
She don't listen
yet.
No, that's true. There's no way.
Oh.
We're cutting this out. That's not a good idea.
No, that's staying.
Yeah. No, that's not a good idea.
What?
I don't know. I'm a coward.
You do a comic about God.
That's true. Yeah, I just don't want to risk offending an actual person.
I wanna.
They're on the internet.
I
they
offend,
don't count.
Yeah, offend fictional people.
Wait a second. This is on the internet.
Ooh!
You're fine then.
Take this, women.
Oh. That will be cut.
Oh God!
Yeah. I just what? No, take this compliment. You all look very nice today, and
don't objectify.
Also, you are very nice or not, and that's up to you, and that you're self determined in that.
Here's what we do: if it's a Trump win, we keep just the first part. If it's not, we keep just the second part. Hedge our bets.
We can't lose. I mean,
the world can.
We'll put out two of them.
I can't win, but...
Oh, no, we're all doomed.
We'll put out two. One for the Trump supporters, yeah. One for the Clinton supporters.
Yeah. I think for the Trump supporters, we're just going to cut in audio from InfoWars. And
yeah.
I'm real mad having even thought that or said it.
Have we done the opening music yet? I don't even know. I have no idea where we are at this point.
I don't know what we're doing right now.
So who are we?
If we have this afterwards, or I don't know.
This is just a map
to start with.
Oh yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about lots of things that are going to offend people. So
we apologize in advance.
We're not doing it to offend people. That's not at all the intention. We're just talking about religion, which is often a touchy subject.
It's my sweet spot.
It's your sweet spot.
Not trying to offend people. Probably doing it. Not overtly trying.
It's your black light felt spot.
Yeah.
That's
going to be a continuing thing, isn't it?
That will be. Yeah, I like that. So we're going to talk about religion in comics. A couple things in particular because of recent events. I'm Merc.
I'm Brian.
I'm Kyle. Speaking of recent events... Let's get to the news.
It's the news time. News time.
What
was that?
Come on, everybody. It's time for news.
You're going to wrap the news?
Yeah. Well, I'm Kyle, and I'm here to say that I got some news in a major way. It's news about Tim Miller. He's doing a Sonic movie. I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, that's how you end that.
Current Zero News Flash.
So he's doing a Sonic movie.
Yeah, Tim Miller, he was the director of the first Deadpool movie.
Yeah, he's out now.
He's out of the second one.
Mm-hmm.
He's donezo. He's looking into not directing, but producing a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
What could go wrong?
So many things. Well, it's a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movie, so...
There you go.
You can give Sonic a human love interest.
Yeah, I hear that that plays real well.
Yeah, you could...
Sonic Hedgehog. Dun, 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 dun. That's the Howard theme song? No, okay.
No, I like it. I want you to keep going.
Oh, I can't remember the song.
No, just make it up.
Alright. Sonic. I was going to say Sonic the Duck, but that doesn't work. Sonic the Duck.
The duck is named Bean. God damn it, Kyle.
Pardon me.
I'm being a duck.
There's that heavy sigh again. You know, I love my Kyle doll with the pull string, but there's so little variety.
You have to listen to the feelings behind the sighs.
Yeah. It is actually quite
subtly nuanced.
There's a sigh for every major life disappointment.
Yeah. I'm like Raphael in that way.
Yeah,
that's not a crazy idea. I like that idea, and I will support it.
Good. But yeah, so Jeff Fowler would be directing this train wreck.
Yeah, accepting it's a train wreck already.
You know what? If it does happen, I'll be the first in line. I'm gonna see a fucking Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I will absolutely see a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. If they get Jaleel White
back in Sonic. Jaleel White.
He was the voice of Sonic.
Was he?
He was.
Oh, okay.
And now, he's the voice of my dreams.
Look what you did.
And all your dreams
I
sound
wish he
like...
would do that.
That's no good.
Got some tuna, dude. Get in your dreams and have a chili dog.
Oh, it's the chili dog dream again. Like every night.
You wake up with a pillow covered in chili.
What?
Oh, I was eating my pillow again. Also, chili.
Awesome.
That's the end of that thing.
That's no good.
Can I talk about Mel Gibson?
Please. I wish he would.
It's the first time anyone's ever said that.
Mel Gibson on Marvel movies. He was recently interviewed by the Washington Post. And in that, he's talking about Marvel movies. He's talking about movies overall and violence in movies. And then he's specifically focused in on Marvel movies and said, they're more violent than anything I've done, but in my movies, you give a shit about the characters, which makes it matter more, which I thought was an interesting... And then he was like, but I'm not going to say anything more about that.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah. Okay, so you're saying that I don't care, that these characters haven't been built enough for me to care about them, and that the violence is just for violence sake, rather than...
Wait, he's saying that you don't care about the characters?
That's what he's saying. He's,
okay, I...
He's talking about the Marvel ones. That, I'll say it again. They're more violent than anything I've done, but sure? in my movies... You give a shit in my movies. You give a shit about the characters, which makes it matter more.
I did care a lot about the beaver.
And then he also said violence. He was talking about it before. Violence without conscience in movies is something to be avoided. And I'm thinking you've done like Braveheart.
The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. He's doing a second part of that. That's his next movie.
Oh, Jesus 2, Electric Spookaloo.
Yeah.
Man. We haven't even got to the main topic. I'm already talking about Slimer Jesus.
I would watch that movie, I'll tell you that much. I would definitely watch that movie. Only that movie. That's the only movie I want.
Alright. That's neat.
Thank you for sharing. Neato.
Everyone, have a toffee from an old man's pants.
Few quick things on the movie end, because we talk about movies a lot, apparently. That's what's going on.
Well, you know what's good in books? Lots of stuff.
Movie adaptations.
One assumes. Amy Adams has confirmed, apparently, the Man of Steel script. Man of Steel 2.
Two Steels, you're real.
Man of Two Steels.
Yeah, Man of Two Steels. Is in the works. So, great! Though, rumors, I think, is that Zack Snyder might not be doing this. They're looking elsewhere to maybe try to do a different take on Superman going forward, maybe. Which, great!
Yeah.
Those are my opinions.
But what's his name?
No one has to share them.
I wonder if Bret Easton Ellis has anything to say about it.
Oh, yeah, he probably says he's heard it's...
I had lunch with Amy Adams, and it's going horrible.
I had lunch with Amy Adams. I had a salad.
Yeah.
What about the movie? I don't know. We're mostly talking about, like,
Salad.
Our lives. We're friends. Who are you?
Stop asking me questions.
Thank you for this salad.
Yeah.
It's all about salads.
He
wins friends with them.
He's really into salads. I don't think you can. I hear you don't win friends with salad.
You don't win friends with salad?
You don't win friends with salad.
We're idiots.
We turned this into the Seinfeld in one horrible, beautiful moment.
Crumb laps with your four wins.
Not the most maybe like earth-shaking news, but Spider-Man Homecoming has a composer in Michael Giacchino. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he's the guy who scored Lost, which had a lot of good music.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of Pixar stuff like Up, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, and I think he did like the first two, like the Star Trek reboot movies, which, you know, say what you will. A lot of people really hate those movies. I don't think you can say the music was bad. Yes, it was good.
Could use a little more Beastie Boys.
Just a skosh more. A skosh more Beastie Boys. So I guess Kevin Feige mentioned it at a Doctor Strange screening. He confirmed it after on Twitter. And then was like, oh, am I allowed to talk about this yet? Haha, whatever. So that's happening. It's not that exciting. Dies. But I think he's a solid composer. And he's done a lot of work I really enjoy. So that's kind of, it's a detail. That makes me hopeful.
Yeah, want to hear some dope scoring.
Dope scoring.
Yep.
All right. You got anything else?
Apparently, Dope Scorin, Swedish. Forget it.
The Swedish chef.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his real name.
Yeah, Dope Scorin. Has been arrested on assault charges.
What? What? What did he plead? Bork or Bjork York?
He's. I was trying to go over the joke, and I had nothing. I was like, how can I work bacon into the joke?
Put the body in the curve.
Bork. And that's the news.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Welcome to the warm-up.
So last time on Chooses the Doozes.
Last time on a very special episode of Chooses the Doozes.
C to the D and the WB. Brian Merck, we're gifted a Zeller's gift card by North Star, who they bested in a riddle contest. Because I'm an idiot.
Riddle me this.
So, this time, your first choice, do you want to go to Zeller's? I mean, Zeller's isn't a store anymore, but you could go to one. Oh, or you could try to sell this gift card off to somebody.
I'm trying to sell it.
Is that what you want to do? Want to make some good cash? Yeah, that's true. Let's try to sell this thing.
Okay. So you put it up on 616 Kijiji.
Yeah.
And you get two responses. One from a Dr. Reed Richards. And one from a Dr. Stephen Strange.
Oh.
So now we have to pick who we...
Yeah, well, yeah. They got to you, like, at the same time.
Okay.
And, you know, it's always a little uncomfortable, but you gotta...
Well, Zeller's was cursed, so it stands to reason that their gift cards were also cursed, so I'm going with Dr. Strange.
Sounds good.
All right. So you head on down to the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yep.
Where he very quickly and rudely offers you $5. I'll give you $5 for it.
$5
in a very convincing American accent.
Really flawless. He's very good. I don't know. So yes or no?
Do you accept or do you decline that?
How much is the gift card?
It's a $25 gift card for Zeller's.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, that $25 is worth $0 now.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the other hand, $5 is an insult. I want to say no.
Doctor, do you insult me? Do you insult me?
At the very least, it's a collector's item now, right? Yeah. $5.
It's in mint condition.
It's great.
I got it in its original packaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the gift card in its original packaging.
Yeah.
It's an MOC gift card. Yeah. It's a nine. Card,
yeah. Had it graded. In between Chooses the Deuces, we had it graded. Yeah. Send it away.
Yeah. All right,
signed by Matt Fraction.
Yeah. You say no? You say no?
I. What do you think?
I say no.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? That's an insult.
Go to hell, Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not Doctor Strange at all. It's actually Shuma Gorath in disguise.
Oh, no!
And he's like... Blah, 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 blah. He's a gross tentacle boy. So, you know, you're faced with this giant Cthulhu ripoff.
Yeah.
With this Lovecraftian monstrosity. What are you gonna do? You're gonna, like, he's pissed.
No, of course.
He wanted that gift card. There's the Zellers in other dimensions, you know.
That is true. Well, I'd stand by my choice even more. He tried to rip us off.
That's a good point.
Fuck him.
Okay, you wanna fight this guy? This thing? You wanna worship this thing?
Oh, right.
I wanna punch him in his big stupid eye.
Okay, well, that leads me to the next question. You want to use a magic item on him or punches?
Magical items?
I mean, you could.
I mean, that's what you do in the Marvel Universe. You punch with magic. So, I am thinking he's got the big eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember. I know very little of him from the comics. I was never in the magic one, but I sure as hell know Marvel vs. Capcom. But when he was there. So, yeah.
You gotta give him a punch.
Give him a punch in that stupid eye of his. Yep.
Okay. Well, that was the next question. You want to punch? Well, he does have an eye.
Yeah.
He does also have nards. You want to punch him in the eye? Punch him in the nards.
I mean, video game logic, always the eye. The nards, he's not a werewolf, but it's still a pretty sweet Monster Squad reference. To get him in the nards. Chuma Gorath's got nards.
Yeah, second Monster Squad reference I've made today.
Yeah.
But like every other day. Where did Dracula even get dynamite?
Here's the thing. He's walking around with a giant eye that's like a target. Maybe he's expecting that. Maybe he's going to automatically... I say go for nards.
We'll go, yeah. Monster nards.
100%.
You're going to punch this octopus in the nards.
Yeah.
All right. To be continued.
Oh no!
Okay.
That is a cliffhanger. It's like an ending of a Dragon Ball episode, like,
next time. Next time on Chooses the Doozies.
And just, Bri says,
hi, guys.
Right in our
right in our yeah.
Just to let you guys know, with the last step of there, if you had chosen a magic item, there was the, the personal massager of Agamotto.
Oh.
And there was also the magic gun.
Oh, that would have been good.
I think we chose wrong. Those are pretty good.
Well, I guess we'll find out next time. Chosen
poorly.
Chooses.
Okay, no, you.
Yeah.
Ew. Still didn't get to take Herbie out for a date.
Yeah.
It's okay.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
It all comes around to taking Herbie for a date, I assume. Oh. It's one of those ones you end up at the same ending and that's it.
What the f***?
Religion.
Since the dawn of man in comics.
Marriage. No,
that's not. Nice.
Yeah. How do you want to dive into this?
This is a big boy.
This is a big one. Yeah, there's tons of stuff we could talk about.
It's kind of funny because we did this not last Advent, but the one before that. And we're like, how did we manage to do that in a 10-minute episode?
Yeah. Well, we really just touched on, you're like, Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
She's Jewish and he's Catholic, and then, okay, we're done.
There was the pretty cool vampire rule where you can use the cross.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but if you don't believe it.
You don't believe, yeah.
Didn't work for Kitty. No. Well, would it work for Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Dracula.
Well, what was the reason why we said we were going to do a religion episode?
Because Jack Chick died.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't know who Jack Chick is, look him on the interwebs.
Yeah, read some of his fun comics.
It's some interesting stuff. I have to admit, I was not super familiar with it. I knew the name, and I kind of had an idea, but I didn't really know much about him. And a buddy of mine, the day he died, sent me a thing on Facebook and was like, ha-ha, look who died. Yeah. And I was like, good Lord, you're laughing at somebody? And then I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Well, all of, like, every Chick Tract is available to read online.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of them.
Have you?
Like,
I've had some physical copies. I don't know how I ended. I think, like, at one point somebody.
Well, I've got the one. The This Was Your Life. But, like, you can find that on, like, at bus stops and stuff.
Right. I know people had given me them at some point because I would sort of, you know, the whole comic thing was sort of a slow brewing thing, and I talk about it, and they thought that was funny to give me, like, Chick Tract sometimes.
So
I
had a few jerks.
You know, because I'd have a good laugh at it and stuff. And there was, there was a website that, like, constantly sort of updated with more and more over
time. Yeah,
well,
his actual website, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just to explain what he is, what he did.
I think it wasn't even his website. I think somebody else was just, like, uploading them.
Well, I think it's his. He's got, like, a company kind of thing.
Sure,
or, like, a group that does it. His tracks. Religious group. Yeah, right.
Tracks. You can order them, and you can order them in bulk.
Yeah, you can get them in printed form. And he's actually, looking at him, and he does it all independently.
Mm,
he's actually one of the most successful independent comic publishers there's been.
Yeah.
And it was like, when you realize that, it's been translated into a bunch of different languages, and sold millions of copies. And you're like,
I assume his company continues, even in his absence.
Yeah.
So you can still order a big box of them and hand them out to Jesus Ween, I assume, next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because he does what are called Chick Tracks, and tracks are, it's based off the idea of witnessing tracks, which are basically like pamphlets.
Like a little tiny chapbook sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're basically little pamphlety things that are very religious oriented in some way, shape, or form. And people who were going out trying to get people to convert would give these people these things or just leave them places. And that, I guess he was very... He's a very shy guy, but he became very religious-minded and wanted to spread the word, but didn't want to confront people, per se. So what does he do? He does very hate-filled comics, he didn't like a lot. Like he's Christian, but he hated the Catholics.
Yeah.
And like anybody else was
terrified of Dungeons and Dragons in the 80s. Yeah. Like just terrified of it, clearly. Like just pant-shittingly.
There's a movie of that. Have you heard of that?
No.
There's a movie version. What's that one called? Dark Dungeons, I think.
Oh.
There's
of
like
what?
Okay.
Of that Chick Tract. that's about Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, is that the one? I wrote it down. It's like a one-panel thing saying, like, oh, you're dead, and or your character's dead, and the one girl goes, no, don't make me do that. Don't kill my character. And then the other character says, Marcy, get out of here. You're dead. You don't exist anymore.
Yeah, but there was like that was a full chick track about Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, was it? Okay. And they made a movie about it like a couple of years ago. My God. And it's very like because I guess he sort of thought like, yeah, yeah, you're doing this legitimately. And they were very, very tongue in cheek about it.
Oh, okay.
But it's like this is a feature length film.
Oh my God. Well, we need
that's
to
like,
track.
There's like a we rave need to track and then they play D&D at the rave.
Oh my God, that's amazing. You mentioned, now I'm a complete sidetrack, not talking about myself or my own stuff, but just, again, leaving the tracks in places and stuff like that, yeah, like a bus stop and stuff like that. I have a bunch of those, like, mini comics I did years back. Now I want to, like, reverse Jack Chick and just leave those laying around.
You just need to make, like, a Jack Chick-looking cover.
Yeah.
Half of it's black with white text.
And just do, like, I don't almost want to do, like, a parody thing directly and just leave those laying around.
I found one when I was looking stuff up about him for this episode, I found there's an anti-chick comic done. I found it on Scan Daily, and I don't know who.
Yeah, there have been a lot of parodies.
I'm sure there's a lot of parodies,
like
but I don't
like Galactus one.
It was the well, it was Reed Richards.
Yeah,
and then it goes like it's two kids or a bunch of kids asking Reed Richards, like, "Is it true? Is there a big like?" Like spaceman that's gonna come and eat us, and he basically goes in and talks about the Celestials and Galactus, and it's supposed to be like a Stan Lee, Jack Kirby kind of testimonial, religious testimonial, and at the end it's like, yes, Galactus exists, and yes, Galactus will eat you, sort of thing. It's brilliant.
It's fun because it's, you know, it's a very familiar format. It's super fun to ape it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Or Marvel ape it.
Oh. Hey, that's the first time anyone's talked about that in like 10 fucking years.
Hey, you can go to hell. Or can you?
I don't know. This tract says I almost assuredly will.
So yeah, he was very, didn't like the Catholics, didn't like, which is, I always find so funny when a Christian doesn't like a Catholic.
Well, you know, there's a lot of important differences.
Yeah, just hairline
like,
differences.
Do you stand, sit, kneel, stand, kneel, sit?
Yeah.
Or stand, sit, kneel, stand, BA, select, start.
Yeah. All I know is Contra got a lot easier.
Convert the heathens. With bullets.
Yep. It's appropriate for Jack Chick.
I did find one reference of one of his books being used as part of... there was a police detective in South Dakota that was putting on a presentation about the history of Satanism in 1989.
Okay.
And actually used one of his chick tracks as like a legitimate... This is part of the history of Satanism. Like, and obviously...
Part of our culture.
Yeah. And it's someone who's an expert on paganism.
If you hear
like this is the most incorrect thing I've ever seen in my life, and I can't believe you. Just,
if you're in a hairy situation, you hear ha ha ha, you got yourself a Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, so what else do we want to say about religion in comics? May I?
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
One thing that I find is funny is, I think at least like the big two, they go out of their way to avoiding really, like there's a lot of devils in comics.
Yeah.
But none of them are Satan.
Right.
Right.
Marvel alone has a fun little grab bag.
Yeah.
DC's got a few too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But it's like, how come? And it goes beyond that to like stuff like different planets' religions. Like Superman, Kansas boy, is a sun worshiper, cause he is.
Is he? Was it on Krypton? Were they?
Yeah, Rao, the sun god.
Oh. Right.
And he'll like that's where that.
Oh, yeah, he yells Rao all the time. Yeah. So he is.
So yeah, he's Superman's straight up a sun worshiper.
I mean, I think as far as like worshipping something ghost.
That's like me yelling cheesy crazy.
Yeah. The sun literally gives him superpowers, though, so he's got a pretty good reason.
Yeah, but... I forget it. my superpower is compassion.
And it's powered by the sun.
Yay!
It's nighttime.
You!
friend of the show, Jason Wellwood, I was talking to him. I was up with him the other night. We were talking about
good old Jay Welly.
This.
He'd get real mad if I called him that, probably, right?
Jay Whistle?
Jay Welly. I mentioned we were doing this episode, and he's a. Both him and I are both Captain Canuck
huge
fans.
Huge Satanists.
And huge Satanists. He's like, Captain Canuck.
You can tell from the baldness.
He said Captain Canuck got his powers from God, which I couldn't find an actual reference for. I have to go back and read early issues.
Yeah.
But there was mentions early on, or mentions that in the early, like, first six or seven issues, that there's he'll stop and pray.
What?
In the issues. But it's not, like, blatant. It's just... kind of like, oh, please let me do this kind of thing. Like, or, and little nods here and there. Apparently, Richard Colmey, who's the creator, our co-creator, is a Mormon. And I guess he made some references later on saying that, yes, he was, like, Captain Canuck was a Mormon, but there was no direct reference to that ever.
Yeah.
It was just always a couple little hints at the start, and then once you hit issue six or seven, that was completely stopped, and like part of the creative team changed over, and that was not mentioned ever again.
That's weird.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's kind of weird.
But, yeah.
Well, it's not super weird.
Well, like all the weird ways that all these characters get their powers, like, oh, I got mine from God. I guess that's just
that's
as
fine.
Weird as anything else.
That's, yeah. Like, that's weird. Look at my ring.
Yeah.
It's a cool power ring. It's like, got it from God. Just, here you go.
God sounds like Andre the Giant.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yeah! Shouldn't everyone's?
Hello, lady.
Really?
Yeah. That's my second Princess Bride reference in this episode.
We just get on things for some reason, and it just happens. Goes. All right. Where do we go from here?
Okay, no more God, and I mean it.
Anybody want a peanut? Yeah!
There's like Persepolis. Have you ever read Persepolis? Or seen the movie?
I saw the movie, but I saw it so long ago.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where I always remember, oh no, I haven't read that or watched it. I've been meaning to, and I never have, and then I feel deep shame.
I feel the same way about Tank Girl.
Oh, I was just thinking about leaving this place. It's been swell, but swelling's gone down. What do you reckon? We go to New York, see cats.
But yeah, Persepolis is an autobiographical story of a woman who is in pre-revolutionary Iran, and then she moves abroad as like a teenager, and then kind of as a modern Muslim woman experiencing the world outside of like her Iranian upbringing, and then coming back and just seeing how things have changed. And it's a fascinating read and a fantastic movie. They did such a great job with just animation and the characterization, and everything's super good. And it's a thinker.
I mean, you always see, like, even just those, every so often, like, online, they'll have, like, the imagery of just, like, what it was like before the Islamic kind of uprising, and then, it's just, like, two entirely different worlds, and just imagine, like, how much, like, just a culture can completely
completely change
over time like that. It's just,
and we have very short memories, and we often think that, oh, like, the way that we look at the Middle East now. It's always been like that.
No.
It is not.
It has really been hasn't been that
30
long.
Years.
And then even that, if you look at it, like World War II, that's post-World War II is where all those lands were divvied up by the Western nations.
Yeah.
And saying, you're going to have this and you're going to have this. And it caused a lot of the problems now.
You get a country,
then and then that set up the revolution to come because they set up monarchs.
Yeah,
that were basically like, you're gonna have this country now, and you're the one in power. We're like, hey, we're England, and we're telling you who's gonna run your country.
Ugh.
And hey, there's a revolution. Who knew that was gonna come? Yeah, sorry, history lesson.
That's okay.
No, hey, sometimes we gotta get smart.
I got four words. God loves, man kills.
Yep.
the character of, or the I guess the trope of the insane preacher, or the televangelist, the evangelist with a bit of a god complex himself, is something that has come up again and again and again in comics.
Yeah, and it's been used specifically a lot in X-Men just because of what they represent in terms of a metaphor. But
what do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. Huh. I don't know. I got nothing.
Because Nightcrawler, no.
Yeah.
Go to hell.
Gonna.
Just kidding. Mm. Yeah, who knows?
In the immortal words of Sammy Hagar, you got Allah in the east, you got Jesus in the west. Christ, what's a man to do?
What are other things he said?
I love my baby's pound cake. So, you know, you got to take everything with a grain of salt.
Babies can't make pound cake.
I'm starting to think Book of Sammy over here is just not...
The Book of Sammy.
It's not something to base one's life
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm suddenly realizing that. Well, my life has changed.
Just has a lot of tequila in it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not changing that much.
I'm off to Cabo Wabo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what's something that's on your mind? No wrong answers.
No judgment.
How's that skin?
Just the playing turtle like the drum. Listen.
Briar and Kyle laugh and laugh and laugh about this for quite some time. It's a Simpsons reference about Homer's brain. You can see inside his head, and it's old-timey cartoon characters dancing to old-timey music. A turtle plays xylophone on himself.
Oh, God.
Still going. And going. And going. Merc eventually just bludgeons the two of them with the microphone.
One of my personal favorites, Season of the Mists, the Sandman series, right. That particular book. A lot of it deals with religion in some way, shape, or form, but that one particularly is Lucifer decides he's going to leave hell.
Yeah.
And this is where that storyline of Lucifer comes out of it, and the TV series comes out of that.
Right.
Lucifer's leaving hell. And he gives the key to hell to Sandman, and this is like prime real estate. So then every deity from all these different pantheons, they all come
Neil
to David dream.
Likes talking about gods, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm reading the Nancy Boys right now.
Oh, are you?
Nice. Yeah, I'm like for the second time trying to get through it.
Oh, really?
I'm like, because I made it about halfway, and I was like, this is whimsical.
I think I read that one a long time ago.
Yeah, same here.
I saw it for sale in like a Shopper's Drug Mart the other day. I'm like,
no, really?
Yeah, like, well, I was.
Well, I guess
I had picked
American
it back
God
up
show.
With American Gods, yeah.
Again, but I saw it. I'm like, huh? Neil Gaiman's doing pretty well for himself.
Yep.
He got a Simpsons cameo.
Did he?
He did. He played himself.
Hmm.
Because who else would he be? Yeah, I feel like I'd get yelled at if I didn't mention Preacher at least a little bit.
Oh, right. yeah, that's true.
It's, that's first half of the first episode of that show.
Hey, that's something.
I have not read the books either, but
I've read
I've
some,
watched
but not
everything
much.
That's
God's a real dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He rips a guy's eye out, you know, ditches heaven, ditches his creation.
Yeah.
He's just a real dick the whole time, but he gets what's coming to him in the end.
Boy, howdy.
Bullets. God bullets. Zim zang zing.
Hey man.
Bullets.
America. I don't know.
Yep.
Oh.
That's justice, American style.
Absolutely. I always found it, there was one issue of, it was Action Comics that Paul Coronel wrote. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but it was like, for a year, it was him and Pete Woods drawing it, and it starred Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
instead.
Right, yeah.
And that just as you mentioned before, just sort of the weird relationship that like superhero comics have with religion.
They're very kind of quiet about it.
Yeah, and vague. And they have this whole, I guess there was a whole idea of like the, I forget what it was exactly, but there was like a hand like a theory or something. It's like the something hand theory.
The invisible hand?
The invisible hand or something like that theory. I don't know if it was called that exactly, but in the DC universe where, like, it's a very vague kind of thing where, like, you know, in this world of superheroes and mysticism and stuff being, like, common and, like, provable.
Yeah.
How different. It's weird that, like, seeing these universes that are very similar to ours, but, I mean, if you, like, had proof that God was real or there was something beyond, you know what I mean? If you had proof of, like, how the universe came to be and that there was, like, higher powers and stuff like that, would our world not completely change, really? Like,
yeah.
Do you think it would? I think it would.
Oh, yeah.
And just they had that one where it was an interesting one where he was sort of debating it. It might have been the issue where Death showed up from Sandman.
Okay.
And just that he had, like, died, but, you know, didn't stick, obviously, and basically kind of were debating with her, and she appeared to, you know, take him and ended up sort of debating about stuff. And I think it just sort of came up like, hey, you know, everything you've seen, and it, like, Lex Luthor's like an atheist, like, how can you not believe this? And I think his...
Well, because he's evil.
Oh, yeah, but I think, like, his general point was like, well, f*** God. Basically, is kind of the point he was getting to. It's like, and he, you know, he won't believe in God because... things that happen in the world, I think, was kind of the point we were getting at. If I'm remembering it right, it's been years since I've read it, but just basically the fact that, like, Lex Luthor, it made me think, like, well, one, like, how could anyone, if there's actual evidence of this stuff, like, be not, you know what I mean? Like,
it's all science.
World. Yeah, yeah. But...
it's all science, baby.
Then you have Lex Luthor who, you know, won't believe in it because... you know what I mean? Like, he's so arrogant that... he won't believe out of it in something that's basically provable in his world out of spite. And I'm like, oh, that seems like, that's an interesting take. It seems to be more and more interesting, more and more representative of the real world in a lot of ways. Because it seems like there's more and more of that, like, I believe this, even though there's facts that prove it wrong, doesn't matter at all. And I guess maybe it's always been that
way. You can't argue with opinions. Opinions are always right.
But I have facts. Well, that's my opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's just my opinion, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free speech.
Yeah.
Just one of those characterization things where I found, like, you know, that was kind of an interesting place to go with Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's becoming more relevant as time goes on.
I seem to remember, I can't remember if it was Marvel DC, and I don't remember what book it is. One or two actual examples where they would... have some, like the hand of God kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was, they actually say, this is God.
Right.
And I think, oh my God, they just mentioned that.
Right.
And then oh, next issue.
I'll play on, like, Animal Man.
I don't know. I really can't remember at all what.
Who was the writer on that? Like, the
Morrison?
Graham
Morrison?
Yeah. Oh, where, like, he meets him.
Yeah.
He's like, are you God?
Direct quote.
Yeah.
It sounds way more Scottish, but...
well, there's some... forget it. A lot of spitting.
Yeah.
There is those kind of ones where it's like, oh, they bring in a character who is like a god character or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's god kind of...
XP.
But then there's the like ones that... if you just took this page...
I'm an angel. Angel from where? Yeah, you know.
It looks like you could see it in the back of, like, a Jehovah's Witness pamphlet or something.
Yeah,
like, it's the hand of God.
No face.
Yeah, like, and it's like, here's the swirling nebula and the hand comes down and I'm like, oh, this,
the voice of Billy West comes out.
Young lady, bring me a sandwich from the dumpster.
Oh,
he's my personal god.
Weird. Fucking weird.
Wicked weird.
Wicked weird.
This fucking weird son. Fuck. This fucking god. Oh my fucking god.
Yeah.
You have, well, like you're saying,
he's wicked
smart. You basically,
oh, he's wicked omnipotent. wait, can he be wicked omnipotent and wicked omniscient and wicked third thing? For evil to exist, that's wicked confusing.
How do you like them apples?
Oh, fuck.
Fucking guy.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
It's the problem of fucking evil, man. Fucking wow.
How can someone purely good make evil exist? But how could pure good exist without evil? My god.
I don't know what that accent was.
This fucking guy.
Yeah.
this fucking guy
right here, right? Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
So welcome to the Moment of Zero.
Welcome aboard.
Moment of Zero. I've got a dramatic reading. This is from an Avengers collection, The Serpent Crown, written by Steve Englehart with art by George Perez. And I think there's a few other artists involved in there. But this is basically the Squadron Supreme kind of comes back in this storyline. And Patsy Walker has a prominent role in this. And this is the first time she actually becomes Hellcat.
Yay!
I didn't really know much about that, but apparently, and this is the start of it here, Tigra,
the Iron Nose,
was the cat originally, and had the Hellcat uniform, and then she became Tigra and kind of morphed into this other creature, and so then in whatever warehouse, because this is how these things work, and they just find
there's Beast looking like a Dracula.
That costume, it's the cat, and it's Captain America and Iron Man and Patsy Walker and the Beast. and then this is going to be a little bit of a read, but and we're going for it.
We got to pick characters.
I will give you the characters.
Oh my!
Because there's
the American Merc.
I'm going to read Patsy Walker.
Hot.
Meow. You're gonna read Cap. Bri, you're gonna be Beast.
Oh, neat
thing there. In this whole book, there's some sort of relationship that they don't really.
Does Iron Man talk at all? Because I can talk into this a little bit.
No, because we can't.
No, please don't.
Does Iron Man sexy talk at all? Because I can.
Oh, you know what? We'll start here. So you can be.
No, I don't want to be Iron Man.
Oh, now you don't want to be.
No, get rid of it. It's gone.
Look at this fucking guy right here. Look at this fucking guy right here.
This fucking Iron Man.
I want to be Iron Man. No, I don't want to be fucking Iron Man.
Can I do a Kelsey Grammer voice? I've never tried.
Okay, so they've just.
What is it more to do?
In this warehouse, they've stumbled upon.
Good night, Seattle.
Stumbled upon this cat costume, and so there's Iron Man. Cap, Beast, and
Spidey's just sort of lounging there.
Yeah, in the flashback. Oh, yeah. But basically, they pick this thing up, and they're like,
"I'm sad."
So we'll start with Cap.
I'm way ahead of you, Shellhead. I've been examining the costume. It's in perfect condition to pull up against. Miss Walker, could you play Cat?
Meow.
To Captain America's shocking question, her answer comes back immediately. But to Patsy, then they do start doing a little flashback. Yeah, it's kind of a surfing motif.
I grew up like any other American girl, surfing, studying, dancing, romancing, and battling continuously with my best friend, Hetty Wolf.
She grew up in an Archie universe?
I know. Well, do you guys know the history of her?
She's like a romance comic.
Yeah, she was
a
romance comic before. And then they merged her into this universe. So,
she grew up in Riverdale, then moved to 606 Manhattan, so you know.
I don't know which was more fun at that age, the battling or romancing. But I knew from the start that Buzz Baxter was for me. He was the nicest boy in town. Still, that didn't stop me from dreaming about the world outside Centerville.
It's not.
Oh, yeah.
It's Centerville. New York.
So different.
New York and the superheroes.
And then she's looking dreamily at a picture of Reed Richards.
Each night, there was a new story in the news. I couldn't hear enough about each new hero. I had such a crush on Reed Richards.
And then dreaming with her picture of Reed Richards in her hand and the dreaming bubble of her as a superhero.
I stuck with his picture by my pillow, so I dream.
I
wish she'd neglect and emotionally abuse me.
I was so happy the day he married Sue Storm. I dragged Hetty off to the Baxter Building. We managed to worm our way right to the front.
Which was actually, I guess, in Fantastic Four Annual 3, and apparently she was there. In the thing.
So random redhead was in the
panel.
Yeah,
it was probably just a random redhead.
Yay!
But I never really got out of Centerville. Buzz did. When he joined the service, he went to Vietnam and nearly died. When he came back, he was different. But he still loved me. And that was all that mattered.
Yay!
Life was hard those first years. A lieutenant's salary doesn't allow many luxuries. I did my best to keep our quarters nice and make Buzz happy. But he was frustrated all the time, with the war winding down and all. He'd come home and smolder all night.
Do you ever come home and smolder all night?
Oh, I do.
I'm so upset when wars are winding down.
Yeah.
Especially the Vietnam War.
Yeah. I just go home and
smolder. I wish this wonderful time would go on forever.
He'd come home and smolder all night, or else blow up at me. I thought things would get better when he was promoted and sent to Brand.
The Brand Corporation.
Brand oh, yeah. X.
That's who they're kind of fighting in this book, is Brand.
He thought so too, since Brand, though civilian-controlled, has the government for its major client. Buzz would be seen there and promoted faster. Only a mysterious beast was ravaging the corporation, and Buzz couldn't catch him.
That's talking about Beast.
Meow!
He began to ignore me for his work, his investigation of Hank McCoy. Then one morning, I heard a knock on the door and opened it.
And she's opens the door, and there's Beast lying hurt on the front step there.
What in the world? The Beast was wounded and had passed out. I nursed him, not daring to leave his side to call Buzz. His wound was healing itself, but he was still in shock. When all of a sudden...
Why did I mutate? Hank McCoy became real Beast.
He babbled everything in his delirium, and as I sat listening, I came to see what I would do about it. I told him when I woke up.
Well, how'd I get here? I have to escape. Run!
Let me just say that this book is so horribly written.
Off-brand.
The dialogue
Off-brand.
Is just brutal.
You've been running all your life, haven't you, Hank McCoy?
Huh?
That was read with such huh?
A
Huh?
Honk.
Don't worry, I'll keep your secret, even from my husband. If you'll make me a superheroine.
A what? Lady, are you nuts?
Maybe so. But you're in no position to call the kettle black. You're in big trouble, Beast. And I'm not asking for a miracle. Just a costume, with some power or a serum or something. I know all your heroes are friends. Ask Reed Richards.
You are nuts, but you're also in charge.
Like, okay. You want a serum? Let me see if I can round that up
for you. Don't disagree.
So we shook on it, and I alibied him before Buzz, and the next day he disappeared. Well, my marriage didn't last long after. I spent the months after the divorce praying for that furry fink's return, and finally it came. I ran him down, threw our pact up to him, and now Captain America asked me if I want to be the new cat? Yes! Yes!
No, I'm sorry. I've changed my mind.
You know what? Forget about it.
I just offered you this. It's your life's dream. Here's the whole flashback, and know what?
Okay, can I read a version of that that doesn't have the flashback?
I'm way ahead of you, Shellhead. I've been examining the costume. It's in perfect condition. Miss Walker, could you play Cat?
Yes, yes!
No, I'm sorry, I've changed my mind.
Because really, just like it said, it happened immediately, yeah. And that's how that
It was just an idea, but not a very good one.
It's too dangerous.
So this involves Beast and the Brand Corporation, but it doesn't have a Two-Face ripoff played by David Warner. No deal.
I get that.
You do.
Speaking as Cap, I understood that reference.
My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you.
I'm Bri Kotick.
Look at this guy right here.
Yeah.
Look at this fucking dick. Fucking dick! This guy's fucking... Oh my god. It's made in comics book gad.
Oh, on
these
that note.
These fucking gads. It's a whole fucking city of gads.
That's the best pitch I think that my comics ever had. So we're gonna.
What comic is that?
It's Welcome to Hereafter. Welcome to Hereafter.com. What happens after Gad loses his job?
Yeah. His jab?
His jab.
his freaking jab.
It's just turning into Coach Z so quickly.
He lost his jorb.
His jab was working in construction.
Hey, listen, we did a lot of stuff here tonight. You can go read my comic if you feel like it.
Check it out.
I got nothing else to say at all.
I'm Merc. You can find me at Merc on Facebook, or you can go to my website, mercasylum.ca, mercasylum.ca. I've got several graphic novels and prints and t-shirts and lots of things. I have a new book called Season of the Dead Hours that's coming out shortly. I have an Indiegogo campaign going for it right now. So if you go to Indiegogo.com, look up Season of the Dead Hours, or just go to Merc on Facebook. And I'm sure you will see a link there somewhere, and then you can see all the great things you can get, and t-shirts and random things from my house and sketches and posters and blah blah blah.
T-shirts.
Yeah, I just finished designing the t-shirt for that. I'm quite happy with it.
It looks really nice.
Thanks. It's very good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to buy that t-shirt.
Thanks.
Hey. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Hey.
Thank this fucking guy here.
Oh, this you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, fuck.
God, this fucking guy. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Hey,
don't fucking swear.
My Christian fucking name is Thomas Kyle Lees. I just go by the Kyle Lees. Because this other fucking Kyle Lees took my fucking name. This fucking guy. He don't have no comics.
This fucking
he don't
Kyle.
Have, he don't have no prints or no posters or no t-shirts or no fucking poetry. This fucking guy. So I'm this guy. What?
It's amazing how long you keep it going. That is impressive.
This fucking Ocean City Defender motherfucker.
Yeah.
Holy shit. He does the wickedest fucking music. It's so fucking good.
I want to jump in, but
Ma,
I can't.
Ma, you gotta listen to this fucking music. He's fucking incredible.
Yeah, we're on like iTunes and stuff.
Yeah, check out our stuff on iTunes and... It's hard to say iTunes without...
iTunes.
We're on fucking Stitcher. Trying to get on Google Play. It's a little confusing because I'm a bit of a fucking meathead, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry for who I am.
I don't feel like you're really sorry.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't apologize for being you.
It's slowly drifting into just Mark Wahlberg.
How you guys doing? You guys doing good? How you doing? I like the way you look, okay?
Fucking Optimus Prime over here. So long, fuck.
And scene.
You've been running all your life, haven't you, Hank McCoy?
Huh?